Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9, if you would like to follow along in your pew Bibles. 6 days after foretelling his death, Jesus takes Peter and James and John and leads them up a high mountain by themselves. And together with Peter's brother Andrew, these three disciples have been with Jesus the longest of any of his followers, ever since Jesus called them away from their fishing nets along the Sea of Galilee. And on this mountain, they see the glory of the Lord, much like that what was remembered and just read in Exodus 24 with Moses. Hear now from the Gospel of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, who is our glory. Amen. A face shining like the sun, clothes of dazzling white, a voice from the cloud. Something powerful is occurring on that mountaintop. But it is difficult for the disciples to comprehend, and I think it is for us as well. So let's just cut to the chase. If we thought that the transfiguration, which is the gospel lesson, of course, this week, is only about Jesus, we should think again. If we take the lesson this Sunday seriously, if we take the mandate that Jesus is giving all his disciples seriously, and seriously engage in even trying to live these words, we are going to be transfigured. Now, that should not be a surprising thought. It is, after all, the whole point of our baptisms. In baptism, we die to the world's definition of what it means to be human and raise to a higher standard of being. So if there is anyone here who has not been baptized, pay attention before you commit to doing something so radical. Here's what it might look like. You give up your agenda and adopt God's agenda. That makes absolutely no sense and is so far out that people start thinking you're a little bit off and even irresponsible. Like when I left nursing, to enter into the pastorate. People were like, what? Why would you do that? In fact, some people may even think you're a little bit insane. We give up self-indulgence and selfishness to adopt love and peace for our enemies. We give up our ideas for listening to God's ideas that may not make much sense to us. Sounds crazy. And there's no way to make this look pretty or easy or even holy for clergy or laity. The best I can tell you to do is that this is a daunting task for me as a pastor, as I know it is for you. Ordination does not give clergy any special advantages in this transformation process. If Jesus lived in this broken world, we do too. If he hit the wall of the status quo, so will we. Good news is that when he refused to collude with the powers that be of his time, we have that internal strength to do the same and stand for justice and mercy and love. We have the ability to make choices for better relationships and live by that law of love. We can choose the realm of God, the holy city, rather than the political world of the United States, Uganda, China, Russia, or Australia. But what do we do, and how do we do that? If we're going to walk the path of Jesus, that Jesus sets before us, to love our enemies and turn the other cheek, can we just tweak a few of the line items, say, in the budget, and walk that path? No. Can we turn the other cheek without feeling unsettled and unbalanced? Not really. Can we do it without making some life-altering choices and changes in our lives? No. Can we do it without releasing anger, jealousy, pride, self-indulgence? Not a chance. It doesn't work that way. Never did, never will. So how do we transition? How do we do that in our daily lives? Spoiler alert, we have to be transfigured in our souls. And how do we experience transfiguration in our lives today? And there's only one way. One way. It's called the way of surrender. Remember the prayer that we pray every Sunday. Not my will, but thy will be done. It is opening our hearts, our hands, our minds, and not needing to control everything around us. We humans want to make our lives safe and predictable, but God's way is unpredictable. When we do it our way, we don't leave room for miracles in our lives. Living in God's realm requires some inner shifting in our souls and different habits to develop on a day-to-day basis. Surrendering to God's way is trusting that his way brings the security and peace and the abundance that we long for. The transfiguration of the human soul is God's work within as the Holy Spirit begins to do that change within us. Now, transfiguration is not passive, like a software program running in the background that will suddenly produce the change when we hit the accept button, while we get to continue in our addictions, selfishness, and obsessions, and demand that things are our way. Our computers indeed do have a software program that runs in the background to clean up the viruses and the malware, and we don't see it doing its thing necessarily, unless we open the app on our laptop. And when I've done that, I am shocked at all the malware and the things that have been captured over just a week trying to mess with my computer. So kind of in the same way, the Holy Spirit is indeed running in the background of our souls, our emotions, and our minds to allow our spirit to connect to God's spirit. And the cleanup operation may or may not be consciously seen or felt right away. But we do get nudges. We do get some hints. We get discontent and uneasiness when the Holy Spirit is doing some work within our souls. It's a good time then to pause and pray and ask God to help you see what the malware is bringing forth to clean up in our lives. And that's called discernment. And it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Eventually, our eyes will be opened and our actions can indeed change. The path of Jesus is not just about doing the right things, but doing things right. This is called righteousness, and this comes from God. It is aligning ourselves with God's will. Thy will be done. Turning your cheek when someone has hurt you is metaphorically means that you do not engage in evil when you feel attacked. This week I felt someone wanted to attack me in a text message. I don't think that person meant to any harm, but I could have taken it that way. And I had remembered this sermon, and I said, okay, Donna, you got to pause. Take a breath. Don't answer that text in a mean way. And I didn't. And you know what? It began to bridge some peace between us. You walk away from it because to engage in evil just creates more of the same. It's actively choosing to engage and be the love, the peace, and the kindness that you want to see in this world. It is moving actively and intentionally and energetically toward all that is pure and lovely. I love the teaching of Paul in Philippians 4:8. He says, it is a renewing of your minds. This is a conscious and daily process that calls us to re-engineer our thoughts and to pay attention. Check in with the Spirit each day. And don't for a moment think that your ideas, as brilliant as they may be, is necessarily God's ideas. As I mentioned before, thoughts are powerful and they carry a lot of energy, especially when we think we are on to some great and wonderful thing that we thought up. You remember a few years ago when February was one snowstorm after the other almost every weekend? Boy, I think we had 5 in a row. You remember that? If you have children in school, for sure you remember that. Well, I think we were on snowstorm number 5. And it dampened my spirit. By then I had just had it. And it also dampened my activities for the day. And I found in my aggravation that I had 2 choices. One, I could complain and feel sorry for myself because I had to get out there and shovel it again. And I wouldn't get anything done. Or 2, I could praise God for one more day to be alive and to see the day as a new opportunity for him. And I knew what I needed to choose in order to move on. And it was not easy. I did, after some struggle, choose number 2. Calm myself down. The day brought many productive things that were actually not on my list, even while I was doing more shoveling. When you can change your thinking to embrace Him and think about what is lovely and joyous, what you're grateful for, the synchronicities of life begin to happen and new things are created and you sense more peace, less stress. People around you feel more joy. They want to be with you. And relationships can flourish. And this is how you prepare for God. This is how the transfiguration happens in your mind and in your heart. Jesus is inviting us into a paradigm shift, one that has intentionality and a positive flow. He is asking us to stop living as victims in a helpless society or culture that looks worse and worse every day. In fact, victims have a tendency to panic, make poor choices. He's asking us to be strong and courageous and hopeful as His children. He is asking us to do things right, be aligned with God's will. He invites us to be creative and to be hopeful in our creations that bring new light in a darkened world. Collectively, we are called by God to co-create a world in which all humans and creatures of this world are loved and respected and treated with justice, mercy, and compassion. The question is this: have you received Jesus in your life? Allowing Him, giving permission for that transfiguration of your soul. If not, all you need to do is ask Him. Ask Him to forgive you of any sin or anything that's in your way. And then repent, which means to change. And follow Him. It's that simple. Your sin may not be one of the seven deadly sins that we read about, but it may be a refusal to turn off the noise box in your house or the cell phone and just be quiet and listen. Read your Bible. Read something uplifting. Or be still with your thoughts and then give those thoughts to God to transform. It may be a neighbor or relative who's constantly irritating you, who you need to make peace with as best as you can. It may be that you have led a life filled with needing to control everything, and now you just need to surrender it all, and let God take charge. Peter was ready to build 3 houses on that mountain to ensure, in his mind, that the light of God would be a safe and secure place. But God had something else in mind. God wanted them to see the glory before they headed down the mountain to where there was suffering. He wanted them to see the glory. And it may be that the church needs to stop worrying about how to meet the demands of the future and let God show us the path. Let God show us His glory day by day. So we get to decide. Which way will we choose today? At your baptism, you and I were liberated so that we can decide. Don't blame the world for the situation we find ourselves in 2023. Don't blame the president. Don't blame a political party or the economic downturn that seems to be failing us now. We are the ones who are responsible for the change we want to see when we allow that choice of fear to be replaced by faith. Transfiguration is so that we are able to live within the power of God in our lives. God sent Jesus to liberate us from all fear. So as we go through our week, We may be called to a transfiguration of everything we know. We are invited to enter into this mystery of life that is God's realm now, especially now. What would it be like if you traded your eyes that see only limitations for the eyes of God that are boundless with abundance? What would it be like if you turned the undamaged cheek toward those who have harmed you so that they can see the wholeness and beauty and glory of God? Jesus invites us to go up the mountain of transfiguration and behold the glory and be changed. From Old Testament to New Testament, we are called to behold. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, not be afraid. Say into the cities of Judah, behold your God. And why do we behold him? Revelation 3:11 warns us. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Your crown is Jesus Christ. Behold him. Be not swayed by anything that we see. Do not take your eyes off of him in the days ahead. Look full into his wonderful face. God will reward us and give us the desires of our hearts. Amen.